Master is advised.
3, 2, 1, go!
Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline, coast to coast.
Imagine that.
Wow.
Yeah. EFD. Dr. Drew, everyone, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ryan Reynolds is our guest tonight.
Hi.
Ryan, I think I first met when I did Two Guys, a Girl in the Pizza Place. You remember?
Yes, years ago. Yes.
Ryan is the handsome blonde from that series for all those years. And just to show you that good things happen to good people every once in a while. He's now starring in Perfect Timing, Damien. The show has only been on for 40 seconds. Beautiful, buddy. Van Wilder, which is the new...
Have you seen those trailers for that? It looks very funny.
It's good. It's actually, one of the best things I've ever been involved in. So it's I'm pretty excited about it, too. So.
Drew, stop kissing ass, but seriously... Somebody, Daniel from The Man Show, executive
discriminating,
very
Ryan.
Discerning, very discriminating, piped up in the office today and said that he read a good review on it.
Yeah, it's actually been, it's weird for a National Lampoon movie, which is what it is, to be getting great reviews like this, such as sort of nice little boost for us, I think, you know.
Yeah, I wonder how even something like Animal House was reviewed back in 78 or
79. 79, yeah.
I don't think it was even reviewed. It just
like it wasn't worthy of review.
Yeah, it sort of caught on.
I wonder.
Well, is this how much is this in that vein?
Put the roof over the Christian Coalition, perhaps. But this is in that vein. Yeah, this is in that vein, and sort of it's kind of like a. You know, Ferris Bueller for the 21st century. If I'm going to give it a crappy log line, that would be how I describe it. But
Bueller,
it's a hilarious
Bueller.
Film, which is great.
He's been on a radio and television junket. You can tell he's got all those.
Yeah, I got the pizzazz going. Yeah. I don't have the VIP cup you're using there for your coffee there, though,
nice.
Drew. I like that. I like that. I have been on a junket which makes you long for the sweet release of death like no other.
Yeah, you do those, you've been doing the radio junkets. I mean, not the ones where you come into the studio, but the ones where you talk to 35 morning radio.
Yeah, you've done that, and I've done the you get the 5 minutes a shot person that comes in, and there's the poster behind you, you know, and they do the five, there's the guy signaling behind. It's like being a stand-up or something. You get the red light going. It's terrible.
You don't know whether you've said the same thing to the same person three times.
Yeah, I don't care anymore. I'm just doing the whole thing in a serious interpretive dance at this point. I'm out.
Anyway, it looks funny. Really
it's
does.
It's hilarious. Yeah, the movie's actually great. It's the weirdest thing is being involved in something that I'm actually, you know, really, really proud to sort of promote, which is kind of a new thing for me. So I'm definitely digging that. And it's a poon movie, the Lampoon. Wear plenty of protection when you go.
I'm thinking this is going to be a bit of a breakout role.
You said that
Ryan.
Last night, yeah.
Yeah, because Ryan is good looking. He's young. He's slender. He's a great comedic actor, and there's no reason why he should not be a sought after comedic leading man in this city.
Very kind of you. I definitely this is coming from a guy who kicked. My ass in MTV Rock and Jock Football the other day. I gotta say, a month ago, I don't know.
I watched that and realized I look like a retard.
Oh, me too. I watched about 2 minutes of it on the TiVo and killed it.
One of my staff members at the office mentioned that the highlight for her was when you said that, of course, everyone watching Spring Break wants to see 35-year-old men with their shirt off.
Yeah.
Something to that effect.
When did I say that?
I don't know, but the people thought that was pretty good.
Oh, well, that's good, but that had nothing to do with Rock and Jock. It's very sad when you're the sport. I mean, actually, the only thing I ever had going for me was that I was recruited to play football at the college level.
Wow.
And then I go watch myself on this MTV Rock and Jock thing, and I look almost spastic, and I realize now I have nothing.
I don't know. You scorched me several times. I was covering you. So
you made a great defensive play. Great defensive play on me, by the way.
You didn't look like Lynn Swan.
No. I look like Lynn Redgrave.
Nah. Well done. Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's right. I have a sense of humor. I can fall back on that.
Yeah,
screw the sport.
Safety net.
Amanda?
I have a feeling, by the way, last night we ended up talking so much about gay sex. Remember this? And so a lot of the countries hearing last night's show tonight, so we're bound to talk about that again, I suspect. So prepare yourself, right?
Okay.
I think Adam had one line that sort of summarized the whole night, his frustration and his anger and what he really wanted to learn about.
Why is it?
Why is it
always just snake eyes? So we can't ask a homo goddamn question about his asshole and get a decent answer?
That was way out of context. Hey, Adam, hell, table for one.
Tonight we'll tackle these highbrow issues.
Hey, you're a prick.
Oh, nice.
Amanda, 16.
Hi. I was just wondering if, like, short guys usually have smaller dicks.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily?
No.
Like, all the short guys that I've been with pretty much have smaller dicks. And
that
may
be because the short guys you're with are short because they're 12.
No.
You know what I'm saying? You're 16, and they may not have finished developing it.
Well, how many short guys have you been with?
Just like, it's not like I sleep with them. Just like, if I suck their dicks, they're real small.
Oh, I see.
I see.
Where'd you go to finishing school?
Yeah, I know. Wow, I want the number of your cotillion class.
Princess Amanda.
Wow.
Yeah, when's the dead ball?
Yeah.
Is that coming up? Drew, how's it work? Do you have to register, and you get a book of debutantes?
Years and years of cotillion to get this kind of expression.
Exactly. Is here walking through the line of swords?
Yeah.
Her father
leave
crying.
Some etiquette book cliff notes or something. We can sort that out.
Amanda?
Yeah.
All right, now, baby. Now, how many guys would you say this would be?
Like, I don't know, like...
Oh, hold on. See if you can answer this question without saying the word dick. How many guys?
Three.
Ooh.
Any of them named Richard?
How old were these guys?
One was 16, and I think the other one was 17, one was 15.
Amanda, maybe... maybe you've just set the bar a little too high. I mean, maybe you think the male phallus is larger than it actually is. Maybe these guys were average size and you have greater expectations. Did you think about that?
I don't know. I've sucked four guys' dicks before, but she couldn't do it.
You just couldn't get through
it,
could you?
One was big.
Yeah. I just wanted to get some dick.
Right, but that would be one out of the four.
25%. Be that as it may, one of the things that you've selected for is short guys, right?
Yeah.
And there's something called the pubertal growth spurt that some males get later, like 16, 17, 18. And actually, those are the guys that end up taller than everybody else, oftentimes.
Okay.
And they also haven't finished developing yet. Here's the taller guy. How tall were you at 16?
I was actually really short at 16. I hit puberty like last week.
Right. The delayed pubertal growth spurt is when the penis grows and when the whole body grows up. And so you may be hitting guys early in development.
Okay.
Right. How short are we talking here? I mean, are we talking, you know, what is his leg you were actually feeling?
I can't handle it, Amanda, anymore. It's just I've had enough.
All right, easy, Amanda. Don't get pregnant now.
Okay.
And watch out for that growth spurt.
Okay.
I'll give you a pink eye.
Or any other spurt.
Got it.
Yeah. I know you
did the joke.
I
heard about it. Thanks, bud. All right, Amanda.
Send it out.
Okay, thanks.
Take care there, baby.
Bye.
All right. And, well, what about it, Drew? If taller guys have longer penises, and is that true? And wouldn't that make sense? And why not? I mean, taller guys have longer fingers. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
What is different about the penis as far as any other appendage in the body? Or what would be the same? Did taller guys have longer noses?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
What about the fallacy of the, you know, the big feet thing?
Yeah.
Correlation there? You know? Settle this once and for all.
I don't know.
Would it be safe to say that the penis is in proportion of the body? I mean, obviously a dwarf has a smaller penis than a 7-foot guy. Would that be safe to say?
No,
I'm right on this one.
An achondroplastic dwarf would have a normal-sized penis.
I'd like to. I don't know. I've seen a lot of dwarf porn.
Really?
Yeah, I mean...
You've seen a lot of dwarf porn. Dwarfs have normal torsos. Everything here is normal. They just... Their bones, they don't grow and they limp.
Just limp.
Okay, well, how about a midget?
A midget would have smaller everything.
A midget would... So that's what I'm saying. A midget would have a smaller penis and an NBA forward would have a larger penis.
Remember we heard about Shaq?
Yeah.
What'd you hear about Shaq? That's a size, 21 there? I don't know.
We heard he wasn't as big as maybe you'd picture him being.
Okay, but his shoes are the size 21. Now, I'm looking down at my baby Keds, and I don't want to send out the wrong impression there, so let's just destroy this myth once
and for all. Well, look, here's what I think what we're saying about Shaq. If Shaq has a 10-inch dork, he's considered small. That's my point. It's true. How long do you have to ponder this question?
Because I remember
a midget penis would not be smaller than Shaq's penis.
No, midgets would be.
Or dwarf.
What you're asking is
not. Oh, shut up.
Wouldn't it be directly relative to the body, right?
Yes, it would be relative. Drew, I'm always right. You and this medical training, complete waste of time. Please, everyone listening knows I'm right. Everyone listen to me. 7 foot guy, come on.
You would think, but I don't know that that's the case.
Right.
It's definitely not the case for dwarfs, so.
Okay. Well, I got to see some dwarf dork now.
All right.
See, you're going to be so wrong when we're staring down the business end of one of those dwarf dorks.
Your kind of video store is just opening right now. So after the show,
dwarf dorks and such. Mike?
Hello?
Yeah, my video store is open from 10:15 till 4 in the morning.
Wow.
Mike?
Yeah.
You're 20. What's up?
Question. I was just wondering, in your opinion, why do you think society gives females, at least it seems to me, so much more freedom in exploring their sexuality than we give to males?
You mean in terms of exploring it with each other?
Yeah. Correct.
Same
well,
sex.
You know, it's funny with the way he phrased that. It made me think that it probably works out to be about the same, because men get a ton of freedom exploring heterosexual relations without a lot of consequences, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And women don't get that kind of freedom as far as exploring heterosexual relationships, but they get a little more slack with the homosexual relationship.
Right.
And at the end of the day, maybe it works out to be about the same freedom.
Just a little bit from different categories.
Yeah, they take from part A and part B, and we stick with part A, but at the end, maybe it's the same percentage.
And the other thing is that...
You know what I'm saying, Mike?
Yeah.
Something we talked about last night also.
Not impressed, though, huh?
No, of course not. Yeah, something else we talked about last night, though, is that men don't tend to explore. You understand what I'm saying? That men, when they're going down that path, they're going because that's their path. And if they don't choose to continue down it because they don't want to deal with it, they can't.
Okay, so there you go right there. You're saying men tend to explore if they're going down that path, definitely?
They don't return, is what you're saying.
They tend to. You know what I mean? It's more of a commitment when they start going down that
it's
path.
It's more of one of those trap doors to hell.
But women rather than
a slow rope ladder.
A snowball effect.
Forget the societal influences. Women just have more fluidity with their sexuality. Men tend to be either one way or the other. And if they're one way, they have real difficulty imagining being another.
Is that an alpha issue?
Yeah, men have more fetishes than women, too,
That's true.
Is if a guy is a pedophile, he likes kids, there's not a lot of flexibility there. If he likes big jugs, like real men, there's not a lot of flexibility there. And if he wants to dress in women's clothing, there's not a lot of flexibility there.
While women can easily go from, that guy, I really didn't think he was so cute until he became my friend, and then I got very attracted to him. He's a nice, you know, men, no, don't do that.
Or you can have quiet nights godlessly masturbating to dwarf porn.
Yeah.
Hello.
Drew, please, with Shaq and the dwarf and the same penis. Yeah. How dare you. Shaq?
Yeah.
You're 35?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Two things, really. One's a movie thing for you, but for Dr. Drew, I got this weird thing that the doctor told me I had called alopecia areata.
Yeah, that's not so weird. It's very, very common.
Oh.
Is that where he picks at his hair?
No, that's Pickerson. It's just a patch of hair drops out all of a sudden.
Stress, right?
It's stress, usually, or sometimes medical illnesses.
What is it called when you pick your hair, though? Don't you call it something?
Well, trichotillomania. Pull your hair.
That's what I wanted.
Pull your hair.
Go ahead there, Jay.
Well, the doctor said that, basically he looks at me and tells me, well, yeah, you got it, but there really is no cure, and there, according to websites I checked out, said there's actually no cause to it. The body simply decides to quit growing.
It attacks. No, it doesn't quit growing. It attacks. The immune system attacks the follicle, and a whole patch drops out. And some dermatologists will do steroid injections into the skin, into the dermis.
Right.
But, it tends to come back by itself anyway.
How long does it take for something like that to grow back?
I don't know. 6 months?
3 days. What's up, Jack? Have you been fretting about something?
Just work is just a real bitch. I just work like a madman half the time. I practically live for work.
What do you do?
I work at a newspaper, actually. Put together pages on a computer.
Oh, that deadline at the end of each and every day looming over you would just be brutal. I couldn't imagine doing that kind of work. I mean, we have this in our business too, but it's not every single day. There's, Ryan needs his movie completed by, a certain date.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of work that it takes to get to that date. And we do the man show, and they have to be taped and completed and so on and so forth. But it's not every single day.
We can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
That's right.
There's
no hiatus. They never wrap. Yeah, that's horrible.
Well.
So as far as this, just basically just go to a dermatologist and let them check me out? And I've heard of the cortisone injections.
It doesn't work all that well, but if you're insisted on doing something, go ahead. Really, what you obviously need to do is to moderate your life a little bit.
It doesn't seem to look... I've seen people with this, actually. It doesn't seem to look overly horrible.
No, it's a patch in a weird place. People can comb their hair over real easily.
Jack, don't you guys wear those paper hats, too, by the way, you guys on the line?
Just our visor.
They actually wear the hat that's made out of the newspaper.
Really?
Well, then wasn't that old school, Jack?
Leather visors, I thought.
No? Actually, both of those. Every great once in a while, somebody will whip out one of those hats, but it's kind of like a hall.
The guys on the line would wear the paper hat, and then the other guys wear those green
with the visor
hats.
And they'd have the little band on their arm or whatever.
Something out of Newsies.
Yeah,
that's Newsies. What we're picturing.
Wow. There you go.
All right,
I had a movie question for you.
Yes.
You're always talking about bringing back these things from the 70s. What about two guys or two people that are fighting over a gun, and they zoom up the camera lens right to their faces, and you hear that gun pow?
You don't know who got it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We don't see enough of that.
Yeah.
What the hell are you guys talking about?
We're trying to resurrect conventions from the 70s.
Okay.
Like, you know, people that have a wife who's a witch or a genie or something, and you can't let them use their powers. But okay. I thought about, somebody mentioned something to me, somebody my age, the other day. I thought you'd appreciate this. She was talking about her kid or something. She goes, "And you know, I must have ESP." I said, "Oh, now there's three letters that no one in this room knows what that stands for."
Yes.
Well, yeah, I do.
We know. I do.
This is a 70s thing.
I know, but...
Sorry, I thought you were still talking.
I was around that.
I know. I'm saying, ESP, I don't hear about that anymore.
I know. It's gone.
Now it's all kinds of other things, but not ESP.
Yeah. Marms. I like the second Darren on Bewitched, by the way.
Yeah, much better.
Yeah.
Much better. His hair was drier.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Karen, who's 32. Karen?
Hi.
Hey.
A couple of weeks ago, Jimmy Kimmel was on the program substituting for Adam. No good substitute, but still pretty good.
He sounded good to me. I heard him.
Yeah, I like the Jimmy Kimmel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Funny guy.
We still prefer Adam more.
Thanks, baby.
But, y'all were talking about egg donation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the kind of the general question that was going around was between y'all was what it was like to go through one. I've been through two of them. And I want to just kind of share just the very basics of what it's like to go through an egg donation.
All right.
First you go to the clinic, of course. You sign up. Let them know you want to do it.
Hold on a second.
You sign your name. Go or you put your social security number.
Yes. Now,
you have to give your phone number?
You go in, you fill out an application.
Oh, okay. Adam, write that down. Application.
Go to clinic. Shut up, Drew. Come on. There's only room for one prick on this show. Hey, get to the part where they harvest the egg, please.
Well, once you get chosen by a couple regarding your profile, and the clinic calls you, lets you know, you go in and you get, they told me it was almost $4,000 worth of hormone drugs.
Mm-hmm.
That over the next 3 weeks, something like three times a day, you give yourself injections.
Right. Well, Karen, this is how they harvest eggs in anybody. It's not as though just because you were donating. This is a standard procedure.
Right. Okay.
All right. So you stimulate the ovaries, you take the GnRH, and you harvest.
Right.
Okay. What kind of harvesting did you have? Did you go through the vaginal wall, or did you have a laparoscopy?
They went vaginally.
Okay.
Up
was that painful or unpleasant?
Actually, they put you out for it, and it only takes about 30 minutes. But once I woke up, I was kind of nauseous, and then also for the next few days, I was very uncomfortable in my, you know, the area of my uterus, my ovaries.
Why did you donate these eggs, or did you sell them, or how does that work?
Partially for the money, partially for, you know, I'm very fertile. I already had two children since this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it makes you feel good to be able to do something like that for someone who can't have children.
Right. So you donated them for the money.
Partially for the money.
Right.
I think if the money was not a factor, they wouldn't even offer it. But I think they know that money makes a difference.
Right. All right. How much can you get? And does that depend on your pedigree?
I think it depends on the city you're in. I have talked to other people about it, and I've heard, like, out in California where y'all are, they get a lot more. Here in Denver,
right.
The first donation is, you can only donate up to three times.
Mm-hmm.
For anyone at any time, at any clinic. It's something about the increase.
How much did you get for it?
The first donation, you get $3,000. Mm-hmm. The second and third donations, you get $3,500 for each.
Whoa, that's a lot of cash, though, for that.
No, think about dropping an egg.
The woman pays, you do pay taxes on it, though, but it's a different tax bracket than you pay your regular income because it's not considered a guaranteed income.
I see. It's not guaranteed, meaning they...
There's no, you can't sit there and know that someone will definitely pick you.
Oh, somebody has to pick you, so...
Right.
I see.
Oh, in order for you to get the...
Well, hold on a second. She got $3,500. She thinks Denver's got a bear market for the...
Yeah, a bit of a...
Or bull market for the eggs, whereas L.A., but...
Low grade of...
I'm guessing it was the GED and the missing front tooth that knocked her price down just a little bit.
Yes.
Hey, Karen?
Yes?
Now, what qualifies you? Are you you over 5'5"?
Actually, I'm 5'8" and a half. I weigh, well, at the time, I'm pregnant right now, actually.
Good times.
But, I weighed 132 pounds. I'm very slender built.
What are they looking for? Are they looking for education?
Is there a picture thing? Or is it?
Do they have a picture of you? They must have a picture of you.
Yes, they do have a picture. They have a physical profile, your genetic profile.
Mm-hmm,
you have a bunch of questions.
See, if I was getting eggs from someone, I'd put them through like an astronaut training sort of regimen. Put them on the centrifuge thing and spin them around.
The clinic I went to
Have them. Put them in like a oxygen deprivation and have them solve puzzles quickly. brain work. Do that thing out of like an Officer and a Gentleman where we slam the F-14 cockpit down into the tub and they have to get out. They have to get out of their 4-point harness and swim to the surface.
See how they respond to verbal abuse.
That's right.
From Adam Carolla.
Your last easy day was yesterday, you little egg donor. The drop, give me 20.
And I'll give you $5,000.
Yeah, you love the clinic, don't you, son? You refer to me in a clear and present tone, not the money you use to con drug money out of your liberal parents, son.
Yeah. And scene.
Where do you come from? Omaha. They only got two things in Omaha, steers and queers. Wait a minute. What rhymes with lesbian? What animal rhymes with lesbian? Thespian? No.
Hey.
All right. I want you to address me in a clear and present tone, not the voice you use to con drug money off your liberal parents.
Thank you.
The clinic I went to gave us something called the MMPI.
Mm-hmm.
I bet Dr. Drew knows what
it's,
that is.
It's a personality profile, basically.
I
see. It's like 600 true-false questions.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And,
that's probably more to see if you can tolerate the egg donating procedure.
To see if you can make a mountain out of mashed potatoes.
Well, they
interesting. All right, Karen. So you got two kids and one on the way. Same husband?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, baby.
All right.
Good times. And is he selling his sperm, or is it just you who's a
family?
The breadwinner?
No, just me.
All right, baby.
Wow.
Take care of yourself.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Yeah, I don't know what the... Would that freak you out at all? I mean, obviously, we're not women. We don't have eggs, but morally.
Yeah.
Is that, I'm not bothered by it, but I'm trying
morally
to think if I would be freaked
not
out.
Not morally, but it's freaky to think that you might... run across someone that reminds you of your kids in some, like, explicit
that's
way.
That's what I think, too.
Like,
I mean,
whoa,
because that is the deal, right? I mean,
you
donate your eggs, they are injected into someone else,
yeah, your
and
brain
that person
does,
is growing your child.
Yeah, the brain does this weird thing with that. It's like you want to go get it, then. You want
to
go.
Yeah, that.
It,
I'm so. I go to the whole other level of that thing, an alien that, like, it's just not yours, and it's just
first
flying out of you.
Stomach?
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's not, not your
DNA.
Is that
what a C-section's like, Drew?
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
they
wow.
hold you down on a table when they're eating space bars and Tang, and
like
the thing flies out of your
pow,
belly.
Yeah.
Well, I had an ex-girlfriend that did that face thing, metaphorically, of course. But
really?
Yeah.
Did the alien face?
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Hey, Drew?
Good times there.
Forgot what I was going to ask. Well, here's the thing. You need the sperm. So it's sort of like half done, and it'll never be exactly like your kids because obviously the husband is not the same.
But it still
donor.
Could be enough that it could be weird.
All right. Agreed. We'll take a little break. Ryan Reynolds is our guest in that. Van Wilder's coming out on the 5th of April. It's supposed to be good. We'll be back. Everybody, Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ryan Reynolds is our guest tonight.
Hello.
You know Ryan.
I'm actually just waking up now. There we go.
Hi. You know Ryan from all those years on Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place, yes. And that's where we first met.
I was also the little black kid on Different Strokes.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You know me from there. Quite a range.
Yeah. It's ranging.
Bang, cymbal crash right there.
And he is now starring in, I believe it's his first starring role in a major movie, Van Wilder, National Lampoon's Van Wilder, which is coming out on the 5th of April. And that is
a
week from this Friday, correct?
You bet, yeah.
You've all seen the commercials, lots of toga stuff, and good reviews.
Yes, very good.
Adam?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Hey, Adam.
I'm all right. I actually wanted to ask you a question first. I was watching The Mantra the other day, and I saw you were golfing.
Yes.
And you were golfing left-handed.
Right. You're saying golfing?
Golfing. No, I said golfing.
The ball?
Yes.
Yeah, you were doing that left-handed.
Yes.
You're left-handed?
I know. It doesn't look like I'm left-handed when you watch me golf. But, yes, I am left-handed.
I didn't know that.
Well, thank you, Adam.
Right,
but I'm not one of these people that scribes a bunch of crap, like, oh, that's where I get my creativity or any of that nonsense. Yeah. It's a curse, this left-handedness.
No, I didn't know.
Thanks, buddy. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have this problem. I think my hand hurts. The tip of my finger does, my pointer finger.
I'd say bogus.
Hmm.
Why does it hurt?
I don't know. It's because I've been masturbating, chronically.
And you've sprained your finger?
It's not a sprain. I don't know what it is. It's just like a pain.
I smell bogus on this one.
Why would he think of this? I mean, it's such a bizarre complaint.
It sounds bogus.
Just the case.
Adam?
Yeah?
This is about 2 minutes. We're never getting it back.
But listen, the tip, like, near the fingernail? Hurts.
Yeah, it's like inside. I don't know.
Like an aching feeling. Is then there's nothing to see. There's nothing to swell or redness or anything. Hmm. Are your wrist okay?
My wrist is fine. Yeah.
And the pain doesn't radiate or come from anywhere.
It's just like a really really sharp pain, and it's occasional too.
Now is that the finger that goes on your penis, or is that the one that goes in your ass?
I don't do that.
Oh, you're not into that?
No.
But he wants to know if you're left-handed.
This is, it's probably nothing, Adam, but there's a million and one things can cause joint pain in the hand.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, and it has nothing, I doubt, to do with your habits.
All right, because I just didn't want to stop.
No, you don't have to stop.
No, I didn't say you should stop.
You can enhance masturbation, actually, with the other hand.
Really?
Well, yes, sure. By holding a magazine.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, you're saying by using that other hand?
Yeah, you know, just for a change.
Going out on the right hand.
I keep promising myself I'll do that, but I never end up doing it.
Yeah, I know.
I'm left-handed. I'm going to go with the right next time.
Yeah.
Let's try that, see what that's like.
Yeah, yeah. I don't mean to not be romantic or anything, but I just want to get that over with as soon as possible. So, yeah, I'm right-handed, I stick with the right.
Yeah. I think I'm pretty much, you know you're committed to the left hand when... Do you remember when I had the hand surgery?
Yep.
Do you remember the novelty size cast I had on my left hand?
Oh, I remember you fretting about having that cast and how you were going to manage.
I mean, it did not look like the kind of cast that you get when you break your wrist.
It was a giant club.
Really? It was a club.
Yeah.
And it was wrapped. It looked like you see those 70s football films.
Yeah,
and,
I was just going to say, the guys that had the club
has a forearm cast, and then they wrap a bunch of foam rubber around it and white tape. And it was a club. Managed to beat off with the club.
You managed to beat off with the club, and you didn't, break something?
You know why?
Because
I'm a warrior.
Wow.
That's why.
Resilient.
Wow. An incredibly resilient warrior, yeah.
Yes, thank you. Max?
Yeah.
You're 24. What's up?
I have a question about a fetish. I don't know if it's a fetish or more of an obsession. I've been married for about 4 years, and I've had this long-term obsession with wanting to see my wife with another man.
And you've had that just since you've been married?
Excuse me?
That's just been since you've been married or before?
No, just pretty much since I've been married.
And did you ever have this with anyone else?
Yeah, I was married previously for about a year and a half, and I actually went through with it, talked my first wife into it. We both enjoyed it, kind of got a kick out of it.
And that was the end of the marriage?
Yes.
Oh, shock. Amazing.
I recently brought it up to my new wife.
You got to destroy this marriage too, Max?
Looking to unload some weight or what?
Mm-hmm. What's the deal? Didn't you learn how this works?
Actually, that's not the reason we split up. I mean, we were just, at the time, we were both kids, and we were looking to try anything, and we both enjoyed it, so
How long after you enjoyed it did you split up?
Probably about a half.
Year and a half, they say?
How long?
Year and a half?
About a year and a half.
Year and a half.
Right. Hey, Max?
Yeah.
Well, first off, let me talk to my people about something. Let me tell you one of the cornerstones of being stupid. You just keep doing the same effing thing over and over again.
I have to say so, yeah.
Whether it be getting fired from jobs or drinking or heroin or wife swapping or whatever it is, you don't learn from your mistake. I mean, if you really think about sort of what stupid is and how people have horrible lives,
well,
it's not the mistake part. Calm down, Drew. Everybody makes mistakes. And it's not even making them twice. It's repeating the patterns. And I know as a doctor, you don't want to call that stupid. You want to put a name to it. Yeah, but smart people at a certain point realize, even though I'm compulsed to do this, I will stop.
Well, you have to have the capacity for insight.
There you go.
Which is different than smart.
Not really.
It's just a quality that's
important. Well, look, you want to talk about the difference between, you know,
smart was all-encompassing.
Chinchillas and people. It's the insight.
No, I mean, listen, schizophrenics have no insight, and they get Nobel Prizes for...
Drew, you're watching too many movies.
But it's
we're
true.
We're plugging Van Wilder tonight.
Yeah.
You understand?
But the point is that insight is a separate neurologic function that people do or don't have. And it has to do with... I was just listening, reading some stuff about this tonight, with the way they're taught to match emotions with their parents early in life. If the child, when they're trying to regulate their own emotional lives, reaches out to the mom to try to get some reassurance, and the mom doesn't match or perceive accurately the child's feelings, there's a mismatch, and the child never learns how to identify their own feelings, identify them in other people. They don't have that insight.
Are you saying this is what may have happened with Max?
Could be.
Got a year and a half, though, after he...
Hey, Max?
Yeah.
I identify with that feeling. I think all guys have it to some degree.
Don't have it.
Drew doesn't have this. I do.
I know.
No. Here's what I mean. I would liken this, your old lady getting it on with another guy while you witnessed it. I would liken it to killing in the sense that some guys think about killing people. Some guys sort of fantasize about it. Most guys would never do it.
Yeah.
But it runs through your head sort of thing. And then a small percentage of people actually go through and do it. This is sort of that for guys. A lot of guys think about their woman with another guy or even especially when they get loaded, fantasize about it or what have you. But they don't go through with it.
And I would say it's just about as pathological as going ahead and killing someone.
You would say that person is...
Has got his...
You'd rather sit next to someone on a plane flight who actually killed someone or who gave up their wife.
It would be a small...
Hey, Max?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Max, this is an impulse that you need to get under control and not act out on.
Okay, well, see, that was my main question was obviously, first of all, am I alone and having this feeling?
No, other guys have this.
But no, the other guys don't do this.
Most other guys don't do it.
And they don't obsess about it.
And second of all, was it because I recently brought it up to my new wife, and, you know, she refused and thought I was crazy pretty much for asking about it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't bring it up again then.
She's healthier than you are, that's why.
Yeah.
All right?
Okay.
Hey, Max.
Yes.
Do you have any kids?
Yes, actually, I have two children.
All right. Well, now you cannot do this because this is tantamount to child abuse. It really is. You're going to screw this relationship up. You don't need daddy carrying on this way. You got to start acting like a dad now.
Oh, understand? I understand. I mean, I consider myself a great father. And
I know, but you would not be a good father if you carried out this plan.
Okay.
Okay? And listen, everybody, it's all about just containing your ass.
That's true. That's right. The 30 years we went through, hey, let it all hang out, whatever you're into.
Yeah.
Even last night we heard some of that stuff. Whatever floats your boat. No.
Well, there's this sort of notion which is, hey, if you want to do something, it can't be wrong.
Well,
do you know what I mean?
What I wonder, though, is just him bringing it up to his wife if he's not already fulfilled half of his fantasy. There.
Well, he's already gotten the kind of injected a little chaos into the relationship, which is what he's looking for.
Yeah.
But did you hear the resistance in his voice? I'm a great father. And when you said no to be a good father, he was like, you don't understand.
Well, I thought he went along with it. Okay. Look.
Ask him.
Okay.
Ask him what he intends to do.
What do you mean? Max?
Yes.
What do you intend to do? Do you intend to pursue this, or are you going to drop it?
I don't know. I mean,
see what I'm saying?
Hey, Max, you do it, and you will then become a bad person.
You are an asshole.
Well, he
all right, just do what you want to do. Understand what the consequences are, and you know, don't tell us we didn't warn you.
I do agree with you.
Few years from now.
So if I decide not to do it and I still think about it, I mean, is that wrong or
it makes you a better person, really.
It means something.
Yes, but everybody needs to contain themselves. Look, I would like to defecate on the sidewalk when I have to go number two. But I excuse myself to a hedge or a gas station parking lot.
Or a glass coffee table.
Or a glass coffee table with Danny Thomas underneath it.
Jesus.
Because... Is he still alive, by the way? Because
Milton Berle died today. Milton Berle died today, yeah.
I know. Now comedy's dead.
Mm. And
so
and Dudley Moore.
Pretty much is to fantasize is the best.
Yes. That's right.
Mm.
Now, let me say this. There's a sort of notion which is, hey, if you're not hurting anybody physically, then...
Two consenting adults
agree to it, then chase your muse, man, and do whatever you want. Well, here's the deal. It's the two consenting adults, and a lot of people would argue, I mean, chronologically they're adults, emotionally they're not adults, and there's two kids whose lives they're putting in serious psychological jeopardy.
That's right.
Here.
You got a delicate ecosystem he's working with.
Absolutely right.
That up. That
absolutely.
Right.
And look, you want to know what successful people do? And then I'll stop being so preachy. They don't do everything they want to do all along the way.
There is a huge problem in this country. Understand the difference between self-will, me doing it because I want to, and freedom. When you are acting out BS like this guy is, that is not self-will. That is a slave. I mean, Andrea Yates was self-willed. She didn't want to take her medications. She didn't want to go to a psychiatric hospital. She relinquished her freedom because of all that, and now five kids are dead. This guy is screwing up equally as badly.
Right.
Because
of his self-will. Maybe not quite as equally.
Well, it might get there.
Got the two kids, so still could never be as bad as Andrea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to take a little break. Ryan Reynolds is our guest tonight. Everyone should have alliteration in their names. It's so much easier.
Yeah, my middle name's Rodney, actually, as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, frightening, isn't it?
Yeah, it works perfectly,
Ryan
though.
Yeah.
Drew, Dr. Drew. Yeah. That's good.
D.D. I'm
all right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Ryan Reynolds is our guest tonight.
Hello. I think Ryan's the first guest ever to pick the mic up like we do.
Yeah. Really? He's a cool customer.
I'm trying to be like the pros here.
Yeah.
I'm definitely trying to be like the pros. It's actually very comfortable resting.
Well, yeah.
It's nicely heavy.
And you're tired. You're working all day.
Yeah. The synapses are not firing the way they should. That's why we're drinking coffee here.
He's doing
the legal coke.
Real big promotion for Van Wilder, which is coming out on the 5th. A week from this Friday, National Lampoons, and has been doing the radio junket, probably on the morning at
times and
6, probably on, yeah.
But the other thing he did was, you know, he was telling us the thing where he sits in a booth with the poster behind him and E.T. and Access Hollywood and the cameras come in one
after another. They get like a 5-minute rap.
And then local news from Shreveport and Omaha, right?
Yeah.
Everybody comes through.
Yeah.
And their
also known as B material. At that point, and you're the B material.
He's on at like 6:45 this morning with Boomer and the Nudge.
Yeah.
Coming to you from NASA. Hey, Nudge, get on it. Hey, let me tell you something. Man. Ryan Reynolds coming out of there. He's Van Wallace. This looks real funny. I haven't seen it or read anything about it. I tell you, it looks hilarious right now. It's good weather report out there. And I'll tell you what. By the way, caller number 3 is going to give themselves a bottomless bucket of scooter bread from Mezzo's Pizza down there in I-50. So head on down there in the Leaning Tower of Pepsi.
It's like right. It's like that, except you're way more coherent. I am following the bouncing ball with you, my friend.
Two guys and girls. I'll tell you that blonde hair chick. What's her name? Trailer Trash? Ooh, trailer Park? Hot. I'll tell you what I'm saying.
Then their head pops off and confetti flies out of their neck.
Am I right, Nudge?
Oh, God. Yeah.
Mark?
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Hey, Mark.
You're 25.
I've been listening to you guys for like 7 years. You guys have taught me so much.
Great.
You're amazing.
Have we been on the air 7 years, Aaron?
I think so.
In Denver? Oh, my God. Mark, what's going on?
What my problem is, this question is actually for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
I have premature ejaculation problems. I only last about 2, maybe 5 minutes a lot of the time.
Good times.
You got me beat.
Yeah, I'm having really good times. Talked to my doctor. He prescribed Zoloft for it.
Yeah.
25 milligrams daily.
Okay.
I went to the pharmacist to get it filled. Pharmacist pulled me aside to say this can have a lot of different side effects that I might not like decreased libido, possible impotence, things like that.
Did the pharmacist know why you were taking it?
Yeah, in fact, they even were kind enough to write it on the bottle.
Write what on the bottle?
Sexual dysfunction.
Sweet.
Wow.
So even though he knew that you were taking it for that purpose, he pulled you aside to tell you that that might happen to you?
Like the other parts, like the decreased libido.
Well,
that's kind of the point in a certain way.
It's oftentimes with the delayed ejaculation, decreased libido comes along, particularly with Zoloft.
Is Zoloft an antidepressant, though?
Yeah.
Antidepressants, they're prescribed for everything. I mean, it's going to fix your lawn in a while.
Very, very common side effect of Paxil, Prozac, Zoloft, Celexa is a diminished sexual drive or some suppression of some part of the sexual arousal mechanism.
Yeah.
And delayed ejaculation is one of those things, so it's considered a treatment for premature ejaculation. But Paxil, my experience, is more... Zoloft does more for the desire. Paxil does more for the ejaculation, in my experience, anyway.
Well, so have you tried it, Mark?
No, I just got the prescription today and heard all these side effects and panicked.
Well, any medicine you take is going to have side effects, face it.
Okay.
And if this is that, my suggestion to you is if you want to find a non-medicinal approach, find a way to sort of... contain your own sexual function.
Yeah, but
masturbate more, or whatever it is you need to do to make this thing work.
Wouldn't you want to try this out anyway? Just because, I mean, if the worst case scenario here is that you have sexual dysfunction, meaning you know your libido's decreased. I mean, you know, this as side effects go, this isn't explosive diarrhea. I'm thinking
right.
Like
so
this
the
is
side
this
really
isn't that bad if you're you know
mild.
Yeah,
quite
and if
mild.
You if it is bad, you just go off of it. I think
yes,
that's the best way to learn.
I think that's correct.
And when you have decreased libido, how bad is that to the person that has the decreased libido? And we always talk about this with women. With men, it's like, all right, you don't feel horny tonight, so you watch some TV and go to bed.
It's a relief for men. Women, though, it gets really shut down. The sex seems like irritating. Like, what is that? I don't even understand what that is.
Yeah, I know about that.
What's this, Francis?
That's just with you.
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yes.
You're female? Yes.
My mother left when I was 10, and I haven't really been really open about it to anybody. But over the past couple of years, my first relationship I had for a year and a half, and then I dumped him. And ever since then, I've been with about 4 guys for about 2 month time periods. And lately, I was just wondering, could that be an effect of my mother leaving and me feeling and like I missed my boyfriend terribly, or my ex-boyfriend, I should say, for the year and a half, and I broke up with him. Yet I feel that he broke up with me, and I missed that relationship.
You mean you have a delusion that he broke up with you when in fact you broke up with him?
Well, like, I know that I broke up with him. Like, I know that. But it just...
But he was giving you signs it was over before, and that's why he broke up.
But you see, you're recreating this abandonment from your mom, right? Your mom left. It was a horrible rupture. And
yeah,
now you start getting close to someone, and the thing you fear most is that he'll leave. So rather than go through that, you get rid of him. And then once you've gotten rid of him, you believe he left just like your mom.
Kind of, yeah. Like, I know that I did that.
I understand.
Like, I know what
this
I did.
This is a time for therapy, Francis. You really got to get out of this.
Because, like, I had that when she left, but, like, I got out of it because I was like, there's no point in it.
Yeah, you got out, you suppressed it, and now you're acting it out with your relationships. And when you instead, you're going one of two ways. You're with lots of people you don't care about as a way of trying to mask any kind of real connection, or you make a real connection and then you sabotage it.
Yeah, another question. Would it be possible that I could turn out like her because she had an alcohol? She was really addicted to alcohol.
50%, roughly 50% probability you're going to get that.
Okay.
So, again, Francis, if you have that predilection, that gene, and you have this major abandonment, and God knows that's probably what her mom did to her, I suspect.
No, my grandparents are a perfect couple, and I'm very close to my grandparents.
Those are her parents.
Yeah, they're her parents.
Where is she now? Why hasn't she been in your life? Your mom?
As far as I know, I think she's in California, but she doesn't keep in contact with me.
You know what?
Not
perfect parents. No way.
Something's up.
Yeah, something's up with her parents.
I don't know. My grandparents don't talk to me about that much, but I know that she was a troublemaker when she was my age.
All right, well, they're good grandparents anyway, and that's nice. But you need to get some professional help to get this sort of dealt with so it doesn't become a chronic feature of your relationship.
Stay away from the booze, if you know that, you know, if you know that you have a predisposition.
I've just tried it over the past couple of weeks, and now it just seems that, I want to do it again.
Get help. All right? Yeah. This isn't going to stop unless you get a real relationship going. And so you're going to sabotage the ones you have with boys. So you need a therapist.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, baby. Take care of yourself.
All right, thanks.
Yeah.
What do you think? Zoloft?
Yeah.
Wouldn't hurt.
I don't know. I got a hangnail. Taking it for that.
The boyfriend is 21 and lasts about a minute.
Just on that topic. Just finish that topic
really?
Out. Yeah.
All right. Hey, Lisa.
Yeah.
Give him some Zoloft.
Give me some Zoloft?
Yeah.
You heard that call. Maybe you didn't hear the call.
Yeah,
call.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's going on with your boyfriend?
He looks just like Equal.
What's up with your boyfriend?
When we have sex, he lasts about a minute.
Mm. What was that?
I don't know, but it was painful. Yeah. So let's just tell her with her on hold.
Is he troubled by this?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, I will need to know if it's something he's willing to work on.
I'm guessing he is. True. Why don't
we need to talk
give
to him.
The goddamn answer like he's willing to work on it?
The thing is, he needs to probably masturbate more, actually.
Okay.
He needs to learn how to master his own sexual function.
And look, he better learn to give her good oral.
Yeah.
Because that's the only salvation.
That's the other thing.
Because this is not going to work.
I meant that too, yeah.
Okay. We'll take a quick break. Ryan Reynolds is our guest tonight. We'll be right back. Love line, ma'am. That's Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Pat O'Brien will be in here tomorrow night.
Oh, for the love of God.
You know from, he's writing our demo.
Yeah.
Pat is going to replace Dick Clark as the world's oldest teenager. In just a couple of short months. Pat has been doing this, CBS Sports for many years.
He's still my favorite baseball announcer.
Great. Baseball announcer.
And he became, Access Hollywood.
Is it Access Hollywood that he does?
Yeah.
But Pat is the biggest star effer on the planet. He, hangs out with Michael Jordan and even big names that are dead, like Humphrey Bogart. He hangs around with every huge Milton Berle. He's now hanging
out
with.
He loved my movie, so I got.
Did he?
I got to give the props to Pat O'Brien.
Did he say something on Access Hollywood?
He was saying stuff a lot on Access Hollywood about it. So
really?
Yeah, he loved it. They loved it at Access. So I got to
Oh, that's great.
Those guys, yeah.
Well, he'll be in here tomorrow. We'll ask him about it. Ryan Reynolds is the man who's speaking into the third mic.
Hi there.
It's his movie, Van Wilder, which is coming out on the 5th of April.
Yeah.
All right, and getting good reviews, Joe.
Yeah.
You're 27?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Dr. Drew, I have a question for you.
Joe.
I am a paramedic in Northern California, and we are just seeing a huge increase in GHB overdoses, especially in the homosexual community.
Hmm.
And no one can really give me, I've asked doctors at the ERs we transport to and public health, and they really can't give me an answer. I was wondering if this is local phenomena or is this something that we're seeing nationally and what can be done?
There definitely is a steady increase in ER visits for GHB and ecstasy and ketamine. Okay. And, and GHB particularly is in sort of an explosive pattern right now. I was talking to, how close to San Francisco are you?
Very close.
I was talking to the head of the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic who said that he thinks GHB, particularly coming across the border from Mexico, is sort of the big headline right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's a lot of use of it at universities as a date rape drug. But that's the drug he sees the most rapid increase in problems with right now. So it's being distributed more regularly. It's coming up. Kids are using it. So naturally enough, you'd start seeing more side effects and more disasters.
Yeah. As far as the homosexual community, everyone's gay.
I actually.
In San Francisco, are they not? Sure, is that a gay colony or straight guys living?
Right, so you're seeing GHB in San Francisco, therefore.
Yeah. No, we're actually northern of San Francisco, but yeah.
I see.
It is, I don't know if it's just...
They like the country, too.
Well, I would guess, as far as the gay community goes, whether it be drugs, music, or fashion, that it's a fairly small community that communicates. And so if something gets hot, it's going to get hot throughout the community, whether it be a dance song or, you know, they all know what's going on. You know, they know that the brown bandana in the left pocket means receiver and
oh,
pink
crap.
Bandana.
Oh,
I beg your pardon.
What am I thinking?
You thought it was giver. You're wondering what happened in the bathroom with Anderson?
Yeah. You know,
you thought that was a little out of line?
No, I'm hanging out. I wanted to look like one of the dancers from the Bad video. I don't know what's going on.
Joe, I've seen a fair amount of GHB in Major League Baseball players, too. And I bet we'll see it in the NFL also.
You've seen it with some kickers in the NFL, too. I want to ask you something. There's a funny thing that's going on. I was just in Mexico.
Oh,
Jovanovski.
And the Raiders.
Whatever, yeah.
True, what do you mean in baseball? I know we've talked about this, but talk about it again. You mean in smaller doses being used as a supplement?
I think what's happening is they're using it in a supplement, and for those guys that are addicts, and maybe don't even know it. They're just genetically prone. It takes off, and they become addicted
to
it.
Yeah, but how do you get high off it? Take a larger dose?
Yeah, blackout drug?
A half a Dixie cup is about 10 beers.
I know, but why is it being used? Is it being used as a supplement, or is it just being used as a
you want in wine sports?
Both.
Wine sports, because it starts out as a supplement.
Yeah, okay, that's what, Drew, you understand what I'm asking here.
And I'll say it again.
10 beers.
I'll start out again. It starts out as a supplement, and then they find out, they get used to its effects and find out how to modulate their
beers. Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. But smaller doses, right?
It's a supplement, but they get out of control.
All right, I'm done with you.
All right, the Major League Baseball are not using small doses.
They take big doses?
Big, huge doses.
So it's like drinking 10 beers before they work out.
What I have seen is these guys, they get manic and they get disorganized. And in the guys that become addicted, they don't get sedating effects from it. They actually get stimulating effects.
So it's not drinking 10 beers.
It initially is.
But now, I just want to know something. It's coming from Mexico. I was just in Mexico in Cancun for the little MTV spring break thing.
That's not considered Mexico, by
not
the way.
Really, yeah. But I learned one thing when you're there. You can get anything in the normal pharmacy there.
Sure.
Yeah, you could, like, people were, you know, going over and stocking up on, you know, anything that the FDA would just find horrifying.
Adam wants to do that here.
Yeah.
Adam thinks we should do that.
Do that here.
I'd like to open, well, here's what I'm saying. They have Mexican food stands here.
Yeah.
How about I open a Mexican pharmacy?
Well, that's nice.
We'd actually
bring some Mexican authorities further up north, because they taught me that fists aren't just for fighting.
You know, the reality is, you probably could do that, like, on an Indian reservation or something. I bet you could.
That would be good. I'd like to open, here's what I'd like to do.
Oh, my God.
I'd like to get some land on an Indian reservation and open a fireworks and pharmacy.
/ casino.
Fireworks, pharmacy, and casino. I'd put slot machines out there, but I would sell, like, M80s and Valium.
And then you can bet your Valium in, you know, some.
And I would sell a I would sell a Valium bomb where I took like a cherry bomb and I just covered it with Valium. And what you did is you throw a party, just blow it up in the living room, and everyone got effed up.
Oh my God!
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's a
I could go for that. Kara.
Uh huh.
Yeah, you think living in a lawless community is bad, but it has its perks, like the fireworks and the prescription drugs. Kara?
Uh-huh.
Or Kara?
You're, Kara?
Kara, uh-huh.
Kara, you're 28. What's up?
Yeah, hi. Hey, I just want to know what's going on with Dr. Drew's issues he has with best friends.
I have no issues with it. It's something that came up last night.
With what?
Best friends. I could see how you could think I would. I was referring to something Adam had said and trying to remind him what his take on best friends had been, that it was something that it was primarily in a function of childhood and proximity to people you just spent a lot of time around.
The old BFF.
And that most people don't identify good friends as this is my best friend. That's not something that people in adulthood typically identify.
Right, right.
It's usually bad when you're an adult and you're identifying someone as your best friend.
Interesting.
Yes.
I identify my best friend, quote, but mostly it's just because she's my only adult friend.
Yeah, why is that?
But that's what we're talking about. When somebody says that, we're like, "Whoa, why is that?
Why don't you have more adult friends?"
Well, we have a small group of friends. It's her and her husband.
I see.
That kind of thing.
And that's it, huh?
Yeah, but it's we keep to ourselves mostly because compared to the community that we are in, we're kind of outcasts.
Why? What are you guys?
Because her husband
Waco?
Is a tattoo artist.
Uh-huh.
No, I live in Utah.
Uh-huh. Tattoo artist.
Excuse me?
And you guys are, what, like into Santeria or
well,
something?
Well, Utah's a very reserved state.
Very.
Are you guys not LDS?
We were all raised LDS, but none of us are active.
No, so that's why they're out.
Now you're acting out, though. Okay, what are you into? Yeah. What do you look like?
What do I look like?
Yeah. You look like a troublemaker?
No, actually, people are very surprised.
Oh, please. Okay.
That,
you got a lot of weird tats or aggressive piercings or something?
Yes.
All right,
I don't have weird tats, but I have aggressive piercings.
Okay.
And I'm also a piercing artist.
Good. Well, mission accomplished. No one wants to talk to you. Fantastic. Now you four can all just huddle up and pretend it's you against the world. good times there, baby. Don't screw your kids up, though, okay?
No, I'll try not to.
Okay.
Yes, all right,
baby.
Thank you.
Take care of yourself.
Thanks.
Yeah. Hey, it's a strategy that always confounds me. This, I'm going to get a bunch of really aggressive tats. I'll give myself a crazy haircut. And yeah. I'll look very antisocial. Yeah.
And I'll wonder why everyone thinks
that. Then I'll claim that I'm being persecuted.
Of course.
And I'll get into that like, hey, man, you don't know me, okay?
Yeah.
Like, I'm so tired of being judged when people don't even know who I am. Yeah,
just the way I look. How shallow and narrow-minded people are.
Yeah. Well, let's take it
maybe
a step further.
If you remove the railway tie from my forehead.
If you put a Klansman's hood on, you might be judged. And if you got the little teardrop tattoo that suggests you've done some time, you might be judged. Be prepared to be judged.
Not even judged. Just perceived as something.
Not even judging.
I don't think judging is
such a negative term, though. I mean,
judging suggests you're coming from a higher place and looking down. It's not that. It's just you know it's a Klansman. That's what that is.
Well, let's say you're being assessed.
You're right. Assessment.
Because
it's an assessment.
Here's the deal, everybody. First off, if people didn't do that, you'd have no need to put the bone through your nose and get the aggressive piercings. You understand? So don't blame them for doing what you need them to do in order to fulfill your sort of fantasy life.
I will never forget being on a tube in London, on this little subway, they call it the tube, sitting there in the middle of the night, taking the thing back to where I was staying, and there was a guy with, I'm not kidding you, maybe 35 piercings in his face, just mm-hmm. random, like through the cheek, through the nose, through the eyeball, just everything. And I'll never forget, I'm staring at him, and we're the only ones in this car, and he looks at me and he goes, "What?" And all I can say is, "Well, come on." You know, the entire exchange was that. And I mean, that is just a perfect example of that. You know, I mean, what do you expect? I mean, you've got more metal in your face than I do in my entire vehicle.
Right.
I mean, of course I'm going to be staring.
I saw a guy in Cuba that had so many, it looks like fish scales, you know, like
that's
layered
what I saw
tattoos.
Too. I know.
Yeah,
I couldn't have made it.
Tattoos or piercings?
Piercings, I beg your pardon. It was like layered.
It looks
one
like
on top
a tribal rite of passage. It's more, you know, less than fashion statement.
Here's the thing, everybody. Not everyone is going to take the time to get to know the real you. We'll just assume you're effed up by what you've shown us. And number two, this is what human beings do innately. I mean, when you're walking down the street and a dog starts coming your way, you immediately decide, is the tail wagging? What breed of dog is it? Does it look like it's cared for, or does it look like a stray dog?
Yeah.
Is it resemble like a dingo, or is it Old Yeller? You know, this is a survival tactic that I believe all human beings do all the time, whether it's survival or a sexual tactic. We cannot stop assessing whatever's put before us, and we're looking for something either we can hump, beat up, or flee from.
Yeah.
For me, it's all three.
But
I'd like to hump them, beat them up, and then flee. But this is what we do. And when
fight
you're
or flight?
Yes.
What we're talking about
hump,
here?
Hump, beat up, or fight.
Hump, beat up, or fight.
Right,
wow.
But when you're covered with God...
Described college.
We have mere seconds to make an assessment, and you will be assessed just like you assess everyone else.
But again, the ones with the piercings and whatnot have trouble assessing other people's emotional experiences. They,
right.
They can't accept what happens in you in relation to what they're putting out.
Well, the guy with the 100 piercings in his face has those partially because he wants to sit in a subway car in the middle of the night and go, what?
But his whole ability to reach into the world and attune to other people's feelings impaired. Yeah. It's just impaired.
Right, right. And
that, and you can't swim with that much metal in your head.
Mm. No.
Sink right to the bottom.
Hopefully not. Mm. Esther?
Hello?
You're 21?
Yes.
What's up?
I have a question for Dr. Zhu. When I was a little girl, I caught my dad cheating on my mom.
How old were you?
I was like 10, I think.
Huh. How'd you do that?
We were having a party, and I walked into the room, and he was with one of my mom's friends. And
doing what?
They weren't having sex. They were just kissing and stuff, but I told my mom immediately.
See, that's why I would keep a tranquilizer gun in the nightstand. Oh, just poof, right in the back of the neck. It takes four steps and then goes down.
Or that collar they had on Star Trek?
Yeah, I come rushing in, tell the old lady, she's not feeling well. She got hold of something. I think I started drinking off the
pump. Don't mind that daisy hanging out of her back.
I'm going to take her for a nice long ride.
Oh, God.
All right, so you ran out of the room and ran right to your mom.
Well, not necessarily. Like, I saw her later on the night, and then I just kind of took her into the room, and I just remember vaguely, but I remember telling her.
And did your dad see you when you saw him?
No.
No, okay.
They weren't facing me, so I just
see.
Left the room.
Okay.
And so ever since then, well, not ever since then, but since I've started to have, like, more in-depth relationships with guys, I have, like, an extreme inability to trust them.
Sure.
And, I ruin, like, really good relationships, I think, because of it.
Hmm.
But I just wanted to know, like, if therapy would help or...
It would help. Because it's a very simple equation here, which is, hey, cut it out. You have good insight. You know what's going on here. You identify the feelings. Cut it out.
Right.
But the problem is you're going to choose to cut it out with the guy that's going to be the untrustworthy one. That's the one she's going to get involved with, and he's going to cheat.
Yeah, I've said it once. I've said it a thousand times. Women are wired emotionally like Fiats. They're horrible. Their wiring is horrible.
You did not just make that analogy.
Yes, they can almost nothing.
No resilience.
Yeah. They blow fuses.
I would have gone with Fiero, but that's just me.
I was thinking of Lancia.
Yeah.
But that may be a little
too obscure.
A little esoteric for our audience. But the point is a 10-year-old boy would have seen this and would have been water off a goose's ass. Do you know what I mean? Might have taken a little stutter step, and it wouldn't have affected his relationships.
Right, he would have been a little pissed off, and it would have been a little. And
yeah.
I suppose if it had resulted in the fracture in his family, it would have had a lot of implications. But it wouldn't be quite as entrenched in the kinds of behavioral patterns as Esther is.
Right,
and so look, you just cut it out and try to make sure it's a guy that is in fact trustworthy. And if you can't, then that's time for therapy.
Yeah, but wait, a follow up question to Esther. Esther.
Yeah.
That was my first girlfriend's name, Esther, but she insists on me called Esty.
Do you get
called Esty?
No, never.
She's the one whose kitchen you caught on fire, right?
Yeah, Esther.
Nice.
I mean, Esty.
You don't see a lot of people under the age of 60.
Shilodenko?
Esther these days. Yeah. I like the name.
It's her name. Yeah, very good, Drew.
Well,
see,
name.
Kids, when you don't smoke pot, that's what you can do. I barely remember her name. So, Esther, did your parents inevitably divorce?
They split up for a little while, but then they got back together, and they've been together ever since.
Did you feel responsible at all?
Now that I look back on it, I kind of do, but I know it was for the better because, I don't know, I feel like my mom should have known.
Okay. All right, so listen, your parents are still together.
Right.
They're 45 years old and still together, right?
Right.
And they had a little separation, a little bump in the road.
This is another thing. How old
did what you wanted to do. You feel okay with the decision. Why do you have to be a mess?
How old were they when this all went down?
They were probably in their early 30s.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, baby.
Okay.
Don't be so screwed up.
All right.
All right, take care.
Bye, Esther.
All right. Sounded cute.
I liked Esther.
Good times. Huh?
Good times. Michelle?
Yes.
You're 32?
Yes.
What's up?
Hi, Adam. Hi, Dr. Drew. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, how are you?
Okay. A little nervous about this. Okay.
We're gentle.
Good. I'm having a troubled marriage.
No.
I'm married 10 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
and we've attempted counseling before.
What does that mean?
And well, we went to, let's see, two counseling sessions. Once I went even by myself because he couldn't go. And
so you went to one counseling session?
We went to three total, or I went to three total. He went to two.
All right.
And then all of a sudden he just didn't want to go anymore.
All right. So
or
what?
He didn't have time to go anymore.
Right, well, that you essentially had no counseling. That would not accomplish anything.
Right. Which I agree with that. And I'm really not happy in my marriage right now. And I don't know if attempting counseling by myself or again as a couple in a different situation.
Well, if he will not go and if he's not, do you have kids?
Yes, we do.
You'd hope on behalf of the kids you'd get a little commitment out of him to come in and try to work this thing out. But if you cannot and he will not participate, you got to take care of yourself and definitely get into therapy and sort of sort things out and make a clear decision and plan and do what you got to do.
What's the big beef?
Well, because I've been thinking of leaving the marriage.
Why?
I'm not happy.
Why?
No. I'm this close to hanging up on
he's
you.
He's not there.
He's never there.
He's never there.
What's he to work?
Emotionally and physically. I mean, besides his work, with him being gone all the time, and then when he is home, he's just not there emotionally either.
All right, so you're angry at him.
Have you cheated?
Has he cheated?
Have you cheated?
Him?
You.
No, but I've been approached to go out with people, and I tell them I can't, you know, I'm married, but I've, like, wanted to go out with them, thinking, could this be the person I maybe should be with instead, and I'm just being stupid, sticking
so
in
this is when women cheat, right here. This is, she's on that cusp.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Hey, Michelle?
Are you close by? Or?
Yeah. Where are you calling from?
Where?
Did you bounce back from the kids, or are you still a little? Hey, Michelle, look, you're angry at the guy.
God.
Jeez, you're angry at all guys. You're angry,
well,
baby.
That's also how women are wild.
You're
going
to screw those kids up. Yeah, they get angry. They just get angry at their guy. They hate everyone.
That's
no, all men. Just men, not women.
Yeah. No, but they never did like women, so it works fine. Now they hate men, too. Yeah. So there's no creature on the planet that they like. Hey, okay, baby, for the sake of the kids, you got to take care of this. And let him know that, hey, this is it. Because guys...
TikTok.
Guys don't hear that. Yeah, they really don't get what that means when you say you're not available. They don't know what that means.
Well, last time we started the counseling, that's what I said. I said, I can't take this anymore. This is it. So he said, okay, then I'll go to counseling with you. We did those three sessions, and that was
Does he want to make the marriage work?
I think he says it in words.
Right.
I don't know if he does emotionally. And he says he loves me, but yet he's not there.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he always puts his work first.
Yeah. What's he do?
He's an electrician.
Okay. Hmm. There, man. Well, look, everyone goes through these problems, all right? And you tell him you're serious. Let him know you're serious about leaving. And you continue with the counseling and keep him in the counseling. And I know you're frustrated. Try not to be angry in front of the kids. Freaks them out, all
right? Right.
Yeah, which has happened a few times.
Okay.
It's not mm-mm.
What's he
not
do,
okay.
Commercial or residential work?
Commercial.
Okay. Good times.
You got to give him that final, I'm serious.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. You tell him next time he starts giving you a hard time, you like... yell.
Maybe this weekend.
Yeah, you yell. Look, buddy, you're not pulling 16 gauge Romex here. This is more than a job. And just see if you can work on something really specific about electrical.
Yeah, use the emotionally wired like a Fiat one. I think that might.
No, I heard that.
Score with him.
Call before that.
Yeah, all right,
that'd
baby.
Be a direct hit.
Tell him you're serious. Yeah, guys need a little kick in the pants every once in a while.
I'm serious as a call.
And how?
It's hard to get them out of their cadence.
Does she have to actually yell at them? I'm serious!
I'm serious!
I think you say it in a strongly worded letter. Oh, yeah.
No. Well, look, let's face it. We're, as guys, I hate to admit it, but as guys, we're looking not to be hassled in a relationship more than we're looking for a fulfilling relationship.
That's why I'm saying right there, comfortable. Guy's comfortable. He's, you know, he's having some troubles, but he doesn't want to do anything about it.
Also, guys really don't understand why they can't be allowed to focus on their work because it's so important to them. If they're not really being sensitive to what that means to their wife.
Right. And also, guys, I, you know, Lord knows I've been in this situation myself a few times. We can't understand why you're so miserable when we're not really doing anything wrong. We're not cheating and we're not drinking. We're just working a lot. We're kind of busy. Maybe a little preoccupied. We seem a little distracted. And then the problem is you get home and you're so tired from work, you want to just be sort of left alone and relax a little bit and masturbate.
The catch-22 on this, honestly, is that sometimes women like Michelle have unlimited needs for him to be around.
Yes.
And so he starts giving, it's not enough. And so now his work starts getting eroded. And how do you balance that?
Well, here's...
And so she needs a little help, too.
Yes. And here's the other thing. And I don't know if Michelle's doing this or not, but when a man is unhappy, he looks to his work, and he looks oftentimes, sometimes he just looks to his possessions. It's like he's like, hey, I want that Corvette.
He looks away.
I'm unhappy, or what's going on at work, or I need a promotion, or I need to go fishing.
Yeah.
When women are unhappy, they look at the relationship, and then they look at the guy, and they go, what's wrong, and what isn't he doing?
Mm-hmm.
And now the guy's freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Take a little break. Ryan Reynolds is here. Van Wilder's the name of the movie. Out in about 9 days.
April 5th.
And
April
5th. We'll be right,
load up.
We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew.
And we'd like to fly airplanes.
Oh.
If you wouldn't mind.
Dr. Drew's wife and daughter are going to Paris in a... 4 or 5 days. it is a double whip now. Actually, the double. Anderson is 3 whips because it's the wife is 2 whips and then Paulina.
When's the last time you saw my daughter?
It's been a little while.
Give me 4.
Oh really? Oh yeah. Listen, Drew. I don't.
Oh! You're all serious.
I don't know.
Oh yeah. Oh.
I don't know what to do. I mean, like, what do you do? Here's the situation. Ryan Reynolds is our guest, by the way. Van Wilder's the name of the movie. National Lampoon's Van Wilder. You've seen the commercials.
Don't get up.
Good reviews coming out a week from this Friday. But, Drew, what do you do as a kid when you have so much opportunity? And the word is yes to many things.
Yeah.
And how do you establish discipline? And or how do you establish maybe even just a sort of compass, and not moral compass, but like just a sort of relative thing? You know,
I was saying
to my partner Jimmy, whose son, he has a 8-year-old son. He's a great kid, but he gets whatever he wants whenever he wants it. And Christmas was coming up. And I could remember going nuts, you know, counting the minutes, the seconds, the hours, you know, till Christmas arrived because I never got anything.
And then you get the handlebars of a bicycle.
Yeah, I didn't get that much during Christmas either, but it was my one chance for a score. It was like you're living in prison and once, twice a year, one is your birthday and the other is Christmas, someone brings you a cake.
I completely relate to that. Christmas was like the Mardi Gras for me.
Yeah, it was.
Bonanza, like I finally get something. I don't care what it is.
Right, like when you grow up in a poor family or a cheap family, or in, you know, Drew's case with the cheap family and everything, you have two times a year you get presents, Christmas and your birthday, and that's it. You didn't get much during the other, or maybe nothing. Yeah. Now, I was saying, commenting about Jimmy's son, which is Christmas that big a deal when you just sort of get what you want anyway? I mean, I know he looks forward to Christmas.
I mean, is Jimmy giving him, you know, three times the stuff that he would give him normally on a Christmas?
There's no doubt he looks forward to Christmas like any kid would. But for me, it was more than look forward to.
Yeah,
It was it.
Yeah.
And I said, look, if you didn't get him some video game that, let's say, he asked Santa for, a week later, he'd get it when you guys were over at Costco or something, just shopping. He'd say, I want that, and you'd throw in the bag.
Yeah.
So how big a deal is it?
We try not to do that.
Oh, you don't?
No.
You mean get Jimmy's kids stuff?
We try not to keep Jimmy's. It's hard not to keep.
Why are you punishing?
Kevin is a cute kid.
Why are you punishing Kevin that way?
But no, we don't. It's like, hey, save your money. You can buy it.
Yeah, but you give him $80 a week allowance, right?
No. We have this whole star system.
Well, like, you're taking your boys out. You're going to 3 baseball games. They've been out.
Well, that's the piece that's
They've been out. They're out on the field at Dodger Stadium. They're going backstage everywhere. I mean, what do you look forward to?
That's the part that I don't know.
And you can no longer... I'm not cursing the kids.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
I love the boys like they're my own.
No.
But... now you can't just go to a ball game. You got to get out onto the field and actually
Would it be less about taking them to these wonderful things and more about just instilling perspective in them? I mean, just saying, look, this is something special that you're going to.
I try to get that. We went on a trip to South America with a group of very powerful people who we met the president of every country went to, and including Fidel Castro. We're standing there with Fidel Castro. I'm going, and they're going, he's boring. I thought, hey, it's fine. Yes, he is boring, but just don't forget that you were here.
Yeah, don't
cross you'll understand someday.
These kids are eight. They met Fidel. I was 16 before I met Fidel Castro. Do you understand? No, 17. But this is my junior year. That's right. 17 years old before I met Fidel Castro. These kids were barely into the second grade.
And my sort of message to them is if this is kind of stuff that makes you happy, look at these people who were able to go on these trips, and you know they run businesses, and they did well at school, and this is you want to strive for that? Great, good, enjoy.
All right, their life's going to be one big letdown.
Yeah, no doubt.
One big bad seats.
Nice.
They get jobs like a pharmacist or something. They live in a nice condo somewhere.
Ryan, how old are you? I was just thinking about this.
I'm 25.
I think he's 25. 25. Think about that.
I know. He's ruined too.
He's going to London. Visiting.
How many times you met Fidel Castro?
How many times have I met Fidel Castro? Yeah.
Where were you at 25? Adam, think about yourself at 25.
All right, I'll tell you. We'll take this call, and I will... you guys talk to this call, and I will try to figure out... when's your birthday?
October 23rd.
October 23rd. 76. All right, 76. So you'll be 26 October 23rd.
Yeah.
All right. Talk to this call. I'm going to figure out where I was at 25.
I was in my fourth year of medical school.
Okay, wow. Talk to the call, please.
Willie?
Yes.
What's up, hey, Willie. How are you?
I'm all right.
What's going on?
Not much. I was just going to ask some advice because we were sitting at dinner one night with my wife and her parents, and all of a sudden her dad just said we should have some fun sometime.
No. Oh, that's BS. Please, Willie. Please.
Come on now.
What's BS?
Yeah.
Have some fun sometime?
Liar, whore, you know it.
I'm trying to figure out where I was at 25 and a half. I still know you're lying.
Oh, I'm lying?
Miniature ball?
Now you're really lying.
No way.
Well, see, my wife and her parents want to have a foursome, and I don't know what to do.
All right. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well, for a minute, I thought he was lying, but now...
Now that you reiterate
the same question, I know you can't be lying.
See, that was the fun. I didn't know what he meant by fun, and then he elaborated during dinner.
Yeah, but we knew what you mean by fun.
A foursome with the kids.
And that's why we're saying that's BS.
What would be in foursome it for you there, the Willie?
Well, I've always liked your mom. She knew that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then her dad just... I don't know why her dad brought it up, but...
How old is her mom?
Her mom's 53.
Nice.
Wow, that's a something.
All right, you better hit that, because you break her hip in another few years.
Yeah, I know, time's a-wasting.
So you guys think I should go through with this?
Yeah.
Definitely. Willie, this is such BS, please.
No, it's not BS.
All right, what?
Come to Iowa and you can join, too.
Yeah, right.
Oh, wow. All right, hold on.
Yeah, now I believe you.
See if I can get that red eye.
Now that you mention that.
Yeah, now I'm coming out.
Well.
All right there, buddy boy. Good times.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. 19, I would have been, I think at 25 and a half, it would have been, 1990 for me, right?
Okay.
Yeah, 1990, 25 and a half. Living in a one-bedroom in North Hollywood. Stripper girlfriend had left me, I believe.
Esty?
No. She'd left me years before in junior high.
Oh, okay.
Still licking my wounds from that right. point. Driving.
What's his name again? I forget now. Lindsay to Hounslow.
No, she was from Hounslow.
I see. Yeah.
You actually had a stripper girlfriend, like an actual current regular stripper girlfriend?
That's where I met her.
He went and.
I went and extracted her from the strip club.
You did,
fresh
off the pole, just brought her in, and there we go.
I had to bring the pole with me.
Oh, really?
I had to break the pole off.
I actually have a pole kit in the car, which is ironic that you bring that up now. You know, she's like, this is
LA. You know, you ever see, like, how monkeys eat termites? Mm-hmm. They put a stick in the termite hole, and then they crawl up on it, and they lick them off. That's how I got her out of the strip club. I broke the pole off and carried the pole with her.
You've got to create an environment that sort of makes her feel comfortable, and so you put the lights up in the apartment
and put the pole up.
Some black lights, you know, you're in.
Let's see, living in that apartment, she probably dumped me.
Didn't she punch you out and then dump you and then leave and then just dump everything out of your apartment? Like pull everything out?
No.
I love it when they throw everything out the window when they don't live there.
No, she punched me out after a softball game that took about 14 hours because I had gone to play softball and the game got canceled, so we decided to go drinking instead. And I was supposed to come home and go out with her, and I came home at the 2 in the morning loaded. And I just remember standing at the foot of the bed, still in the softball uniform, and she cold cocked me right across the face.
Oh, she punched you in the face.
In the face.
Wow.
And I remember thinking on the way down to the bed, because I figured I'll just fall back into bed. She hit me. I'm in my uniform. On the way down, I thought, you know what? Good. Because because here's the deal. I'm drunk.
Yeah.
I used to box. I've been punched a million times. That was no big deal. And now she's going to feel bad. And I've already forgotten about it because I'm loaded.
Yeah.
So I, my head hit
and
the pillow.
And you're on the way down. Yeah.
I'm on the way down. My head hit the pillow. I woke up in my softball cleats. And she was apologizing to me the following morning, which I thought was good. I'll tell you, a good sock from a girl is much better than days and days of service from them regarding your behavior, especially if you're loaded and you don't see it coming. It's great. So she just dumped me. She'd moved into my grandparents' house, who were out of town and about two blocks away, and start seeing a guy from work whose motorcycle was parked out front of my grandparents' house constantly.
How nice of grandma to offer her her house.
Yeah. They're decent folks.
Full surveillance.
Did she welcome the boyfriend into dinner too? The new boyfriend?
She was out of. They were out of town for like a month.
And
so
was this what the announcer at the strip club or?
No, this is she. I'd forced her to quit her first love, which was stripping after we were living together. And I was driving a 79 beat up Nissan pickup truck, working swinging a hammer for a living, but sort of freelance, making about $250 a week cash. And taking on temporary boarders at my house, which was technically a one bedroom, but there was a little loft. And for about $150 a month, a different guy would show up with a cardboard box with like a pair of underpants and a can of Dinty Moore stew in it and stay there for the month and then rotate out.
It's like Don Quixote.
I know. This is what I'm doing at age 25. And no car insurance, no health, no medical. No money in the bank, no credit cards.
Wow.
That's
good time.
25.
Wow. And then we've got Ryan here who travels the world.
Same life.
Late time radio. Oh, yeah, same life. Two houses, leasing out, renting a house.
Same life.
Same life. Same as yours.
Mirrored.
Sure.
Same chick situation, too.
No doubt.
I went out, single man, no money. And driving a beat-up Nissan pickup truck with a lumber rack on top of it.
I'm doing all right. That's fine. But you know what? I have less game than Atari right now, and I that is a definite fact.
That is all going to change in about 9 days, my brother.
Oh, thanks.
Shannon?
Thank you.
Yeah?
Hey, Shannon.
You're
hey.
16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I've been, bisexual, sort of, you know?
Yeah, this is a betting opportunity here.
Okay, Shannon.
Kind of like myself.
You got that little girl voice, so we're gonna bet on you. Okay.
Why?
There, because
I have a little girl voice.
Now we're really gambling on you. All right.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So hold on a second, because we have to take a break.
Okay.
All right, baby. Ryan Reynolds is our guest tonight. Yeah. Van Wilder's name of the movie. And when we come back, we'll do some old-fashioned love line gambling on Shannon.
Looking forward.
Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew.
I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds is our guest tonight. Ryan is, you probably know him best from Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place all those years. And now you know him from all the commercials for Van Wilder, new National Lampoon movie, which is coming out on the 5th.
Which you really must see.
Really?
I think you'd enjoy it.
I think people will enjoy it. What was the budget on that movie, do you know?
I don't know, but there were many zeros. Mm. They're expensive to make these, young buck comedies.
Where'd you film it?
We're going to jail for the things we do in this movie, by the way. So, go on an empty stomach.
Where'd you film that? In Canada?
No, Los Angeles. None of that runaway production for us.
Where at in Los Angeles?
We shot that at UCLA, campus UCLA, and then a studio.
Oh, they let you do that,
East Hollywood, yeah.
All right. We have our dollar sound. Drew, you got your dollar out.
I guess right here.
Van, you get your dollar out.
Explain to Ryan how it works.
Well, here's how it is. We bet on people's past, not their present. Meaning, we're not trying to figure out what Shannon is up to now. We're trying to figure out what led her into what is up with her
I'm
now.
I'm afraid of that voice of hers, for instance.
The sort of, it's like, you know, voice?
No, the little...
Or the baby voice.
The baby,
voice.
Like, he was really sweet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shannon? Shannon?
Why do you not have a baby voice?
All right,
okay.
Oh, my gosh, there's no... like, Ryan Reynolds is on that.
What about him?
I didn't know he was on.
Hi, Shannon. Yes, I am.
Yeah, he's hot.
Why, that's nice of you, Shannon.
I love you.
Aw.
Hold on.
This is going to affect my bed.
That's what she's trying to do, is trying to soften you up.
Soften me up, Shannon.
All right, now your question was paid to make out with a girl. You liked it. You liked it, and now you want to know, you want to tell your parents you're bi, right?
No, I don't want to, but I feel like obligated.
You feel obligated. All right,
to tell your parents you're bi.
Because you made out with a girl and liked
that's,
it after some paid you.
Okay.
All right, you ready to roll here? Drew, you go first.
All right. Kind of a-hole dad in some way. No, I can take it back. Mom is a little bit sort of intrusive, but the real problem was sort of a sexually abusive babysitter.
Interesting. Female or male?
Female. How about that?
Female sexually abusive babysitter.
Little twist.
Okay. Really? I'm going to go with the payback to dad. I'm going to go with mom and dad together.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're going with that too? Because this is a little bit of a stretch this day and age. Could be, if mom and dad aren't still together, stepdad showed up early and is the dad.
Mm-hmm.
Workaholic. Prick and a little payback, a little hatred for dad.
Well.
And I'm going to go with a little sexual abuse.
From? With that voice, you got to go sexual abuse.
I know. I'm going sexual abuse, but who did it? Older stepbrother? No. Nah, outside of the family. A teenage boy when she was 5, 6 years old.
Okay, good. Like a cousin or something.
Something like that. Could be something like that.
I was going with cousin.
Now, I'm saying, I don't want to coach you, but you may want to go with something straight because she may not admit to something.
Firstly, I think she's reading Penthouse Forum for us live on the air. I'd like to double down on Drew's bet. You know, because he is the trained.
No. I'm just guessing.
I'm actually just gonna go against the grain anyway, and just say that she's we're just straight up. This is literally just she's a short story. She's acting out for us, and you know, I think that's about it.
No wholesale abuse.
There's no wholesale. I actually will be willing to bet that she's from a very strict family, there's an element of conservative.
All right, Shannon.
Yeah.
All right, let's.
Hey, you're so off. It's horrible.
Oh, it is.
Okay, I was never.
But I wasn't,
abused.
Was I, Shannon?
I was never abused.
All right.
And my dad's a little bit strict. My mom is not at all. Uh-huh. And I was like a street punk.
Okay.
Street punk.
When I was younger.
Now, how did that happen?
Like, I ran away a lot.
Okay. Now, no one ever hit you in the home. No one ever struck you.
Well, I had like a stepdad that was kind of. An asshole, or a butthole.
Oh, what did he do to you?
Where's my bourbon?
A-hole.
I'm sorry.
What did he do to you?
Well, he didn't really do anything to me because he liked me, but he did a lot to my sister and my dog.
Your dog?
And my mom.
Well, the dog had it coming, but what did he do to your sister, your mom, and your dog?
He used to, like, hurt them a lot, like, kick them in the head, and, like, he kidnapped my mom. And he went to jail for like 7 years for it.
For kidnapping?
He just got out.
Kidnapping the dog or your mom?
Mom.
My mom.
Your mom. And where's your real dad?
He's around. I go like back and forth between my parents, mostly my dad.
And why did he leave?
Where did my dad leave?
Why did your dad leave your mom?
Because my mom had, or when they were married, my mom got pregnant with another guy's baby.
When they were married.
Because both my parents are, like, really light-skinned and, like, Swedish and stuff. And my little sister is, like, Italian-looking. So he could tell that it was...
Wow.
Who is the alcoholic here? Which of them?
No alcoholics.
Had to be some drinking going on.
Yeah, somebody
else. This behavior, please.
None.
All right. And then when you were out, how old were you when you hit the street as a punk?
I was a punk in, like, second grade.
Second grade. So you were seven.
Second grade.
And
wow.
When you hit the street at seven, no one ever did.
No, I didn't hit the street at seven, at, like, 11.
All right, you hit the street at 11.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tatum O'Neill.
No one ever did anything sexual to you when you were 10, 11?
Well, I didn't, like, start doing stuff till I was, like, 13. Like,
but no one ever tried anything with you before?
Yeah, of course they tried stuff. So.
Okay, how old were you when all that business first started?
Like, what do you mean on business?
When people started trying to do things to you, how old were you when they started?
Like 12.
12. That was the first time anybody tried to sexually sort of touch you or anything?
Oh, no. But I don't really remember the other times. They weren't like a big thing.
Well, who was the first time, would you say?
Oh, my sister's friend.
Your sister's friend.
Her guy friend, they said.
How old were you when that all went down?
I don't know, like 10.
9, 10. Yeah.
True. True, make a great trial attorney.
I know, I was saying leading the witness.
Yeah, I'm leading the witness because there's no doubt in my mind what's going on here. And am I not right?
No,
this is like an episode of Leave It to
Beaver. Listen, this started with her saying we're both way off to what sounding like being raised in a Cuisinart.
Yeah.
I mean, in fact, with us being exactly right on.
No, not I don't know exactly, but the point is you would be better off if what we said happened rather than what actually happened with the running away and the abusive, stepdad who did time for terrorizing the family and kidnapping mom and the your sister's, friends coming on to you at 10 years old.
And physical abuse. And listen, this is what we were hearing in your voice,
baby.
Shannon, this is what we heard. We could hear that there was an extreme arrest in your development from all this trauma. You're a trauma survivor. That's
my
what
development isn't suffering. Undeveloped.
Yeah, you have breasts, but your mind is not as far along as your rack.
Really?
Which is true with most women. But Shannon, baby, listen, we got to wrap it up.
This bisexuality is all about not knowing what you are, who you are, and the desire to tell your parents is a desire to create more chaos and to get back at them in an aggressive way. If you want to do something to help yourself, get some help with all this. You really got to figure.
Should I tell them?
No, don't tell them anything.
No.
I just got expelled from school. Okay.
Tell them you'd like to get some therapy.
You want to get help?
They want to like know all the stuff about me because they haven't like taken the time.
All right. Well, then you get a therapist, a family therapist, and you sit down in a safe environment with a professional that can observe this process, and you let them have it. That's fine.
And listen, parents who screw over their kids in a huge way, you get exactly what you deserve. You get a screwed up handful of a kid. You get you want that heterosexual kid who's going to have grandkids for you and get a nice job working with computers. You don't get an ounce of that. You get a screwed up pain in the ass who's acting out their whole life, who's in and out of, rehab, who's getting into crazy abusive relationships. And you know what? As sorry as I am for the kids, you deserve every goddamn ounce of that as a parent. And I hope you have to suffer with this the rest of your life, you horrible, horrible parents. Okay, we're right back to Ryan Reynolds after this.
All right.
Hi there, folks. That's the end of the show. I want to thank Ryan Reynolds for coming in here.
Thank you.
And the success could not happen to a nicer guy.
Well, thank you very much.
So
don't get up.
Cheers. Ryan is a great guy and a talent, and we encourage everyone who's listening to go out and see Van Wilder, the new National Lampoon movie, which is coming out 1 week from this Friday. So
you will not be disappointed. Check it out.
Mazel tov is what I have to say.
Well, cheers.
Very much.
Cheers.
As a man who's mistaken as a Jew every once in a while.
Oh, nice.
So,
this Passover.
When I was driving the mini pickup truck and living with a stripper, there was no allegations of Judaism there. Now that I'm in comedy and I drive the BMW, now I'm a Jew.
Yeah.
All right. So until next time, this is Adam Crawford, Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Just like, it's not like I sleep with them. Just like if I suck their dicks, they're real small.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.